Let me help you find this, I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, yeah. Jesus is the finest, in him will your body change. Do you want their kindness? Let me help you find this, I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest, in him will your body change.
Bear a cross, bear fruit, wear cloth with the logo. Show it off, it's so cold, but most don't know. Fruits are the things that show forth the evidence of the spirit inside. You can see them like a photo. Click. So when I don't flow, you should see kindness. It shouldn't have to look hard to find this. Everybody knows what it is, let me define this and take a look at the motives behind it. This is another attribute of God's divineness. We share in it cause in his image he designed us. But we don't reflect that in the proper light cause we're broken. We put our votes in, humanity is pro-sin. So then, God decides to show men kindness despite the fact we never chose him. Or should I say choose him? We chunking them deuces. Silly come pursues us with irresistible love, he woos us. The truth is, fruits are the proof that he moved in. If they not growing, then we living in illusion. For our iniquity, they bruised him. Boosted him up on that tree for you and me. The good news is his kindness leads us to repentance. God and man can be friends since Christ took the bid for our death sentence.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See, Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change. Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See, Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change.
Dry branches, brittle, easily broke. They only good as firewood, throw them in the smoke. Once they detach from the vine, then they quit growing. If you're not bearing fruit, it's because you're not getting soaked in the riches of his word. No time in his presence, I mean give him my best. And not just a couple of seconds, so check it. You ever spent so much time with a person? You started talking like him, man, watch and learn. See the company that you keep is certainly gonna determine how you walk, how you talk. That's why I be hurting when we don't spend time in that book and our prayers are lifeless. Then wonder why we as his children don't look like him. So tell me what good is fruit if others don't take a bite in. When they get a taste, do they see Christ in? If not, then don't go fake it till they do. Go back to the root, see Christ abide in the mirror.
Do you want that kindness? Let me help you find it. I'll show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change. Let me help you find it. Show you where I get it from. Open up your eyes, man. See Jesus is the finest. In him will your body change.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Giving honor to the Lord God Jehovah, amen, and his blessed Son, Jesus Christ, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Amen. And to Pastor O, Gerald Overall, my producer, and his lovely wife, and my sister-in-law, Sheila, Pastor Sheila. She don't like me saying that. But anyway, amen. And Runner for Christ Ministries and all the different saints and friends, new and old, and the folks in town and out of town. Amen. I met some folks from Baltimore yesterday. I say praise the Lord. Amen. We were unable to record last week due to technical difficulties, but we're back. Amen. And, if you've been around today, I'm going to be dealing with something. It's a change from what I had began. A few weeks ago, I had began what I thought was going to be a series, which I probably will complete, on the power of speaking. But the Lord put on my heart to do a segment on why prophecy. Amen. And that's going to be good. I'm expecting some things from the Lord, things he's already told me, some things that he's going to manifest during this broadcast. Amen. So let's go before the throne of grace, amen, and invite the leader, the keeper, the our maker, our deliverer, our way maker, amen, the person who is responsible for all this. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne, because it is a privilege and an honor, and it comes with a high cost, to the point that you shed the blood of your only, your first begotten son that has brought many other sons and daughters into your kingdom. Father, right now we bless you. Right now we ask you for the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding even more, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, right now we're asking that you would bless us, amen, with the revelation, with the knowledge of your will, and continue to give us the courage and strength to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work, amen, that is approved of by you. Father God, right now we ask that you bless, amen, us to know you more. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you as we are drawing close to that time where the barrier, where the wall will be lifted and we will be able to see you face to face. Father God, right now we ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write up on the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as I said, the Lord has given me to do why prophecy. And the why is God is outside of time. I remember I heard a man of God say that. If your God isn't outside of time, he's not God. And I agree with that. God is not limited by the spheres that we are. That's S-P-H-E-R-E. This realm that he created for us to dwell in. You know, it's taken years, decades, thousands of years for us to get a glimpse, to barely understand the magnitude of our creation. It's been 6,000 known Bible years. I'm not going to go with these supposed scientists think we've been and has been here. Now, the earth is one different area. But man himself has got a 6,000 year that I can stand on according to the word of God, okay? But God has always had a plan, and it's amazing. It's amazing. I saw Facebook. I try to avoid Facebook on the day that I'm going to speak. I don't know why I'm getting distracted, but there was a response about karma, a question about karma. Life is not random. Things don't just happen. What happens is based on people's knowledge. And we haven't put forth, I'll put it like this, in the last 20 years, there's been more effort to discover how the kingdom of God operates. See, you go back beyond that and you'll find out how religion operated. But I don't want to get too far off of that. So the issue here is prophecy. And you know what? Amen. That's, here we go. That's the telling forth of events before they occur. This is something that only God can do. You know, all these other alleged gods that, you know, most of the prophecies you read are copies. You know, I'm not going to even waste time on speaking on the various individuals who supposedly have made forecasts that have come to pass, because Satan can bring things to pass too. You know, this is why you don't want to get caught up with those them palm readers and all that. You know, you got a demon that follows your life, just like you have an angel that follows your life. And so they can set up events and make it seem like that's the will of God. But that's almost always the case with an individual that does not spend time with God. Because when you spend time with God, he corrects things. Okay, he does what his words say. Matter of fact, let's read our headline scripture, which is found in the book of Revelation. I'm going to give you a second to find that. And that's what it means. You know the word that you hear bandied about called apocalypse, you know, that's the actual definition of Revelation. It is not a word of doom, even though the book of Revelation speaks of the coming destruction to mankind for rebellion towards God. That's the definition, is really Revelation giving light to the future. And that's because God don't want us to have to go through that. That's the purpose of it. He don't want you to go. I'm not going through it. I'm leaving with the rapture. I'm doing all I can to go with the rapture. See, you have to make the effort. God ain't going to make you obey him. He gave you power over the devil. So he's not even taking the excuse, the devil made me do it. It was a comedian back in the day named Flip Wilson. He used to do these little skits, and that's when he would do crazy stuff. He'd say the devil made him do it. Well, see, the devil don't make you do stuff. Man, you can't put that off on the devil. He doesn't have that power, because First John 4:4 said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So I don't worry about the devil. But I believe for the most part, this is for new Christians, new believers of all ages, and people that may belong to churches that don't teach on this, because a lot of churches do not. The Bible is one-third prophecy, you know, and that's the main thing. If you read that, we're going to get to that. You'll find out that God always tells things before they happen, you know. Anyway, the revelation, now this describes, okay, actually the book of Revelation. It said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he said and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now that was 96 A.D. Here we are in 2024. And you know, I remember this man of God was saying that when God said a little while, it was 500 years later. See, God doesn't have a watch, you know, or a calendar. I offered to buy him a watch. That's why I know God has a sense of humor. I'm still around. But anyway, all right. Now, one of the things the prophecy does is that it establishes, as I said, that God is. Now, first we're going to go to 2 Timothy 3:16. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16, because I want you to understand that the Bible ain't no accident. It ain't no book. Now, it says, and let me find my page here, my notes here. It says that all scripture, okay, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man and woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. In other words, you know, I looked it up in the Webster Dictionary. If you don't have a 1828 Webster Dictionary, download it. You can download it free, or it may cost $5. I don't know, but it's worth having, because it was written before man started trying to corrupt dictionary in the Bible. Because the Bible, the dictionary was actually written, the 1828 is defined by Bible standards. That's why it is commonly used by most of your renowned men of God, men and women of God, and teachers of the word. And it talks about the word inspiration. It says the act of drawing into the lungs, inhaling of air, a branch of respiration as opposed to expiration. It said, and let me skip down to number three. It said the infusion of ideas into the mind by the Holy Spirit, the conveying into the minds of men ideas, notices, and monitions by extraordinary or supernatural influence, or the communication of the divine will to the understanding by the suggestions or impressions on the mind, which leave no room to doubt the reality of their supernatural origin. In other words, when God talks, you know it's him. I have these moments where the Lord speaks to me, and I call them epiphany moments, where there's no doubt who spoke to me. One of those I relate to was my pastor, under the anointing, was speaking, and all he said was something simple, that the days for riding the fence in Christianity was over. You either in or you out. Now, that don't seem deep, but immediately as he said that, the Holy Spirit told me the training wheels are off. And later on, when I got home, and that's what you want to do when you go to church, you don't want to just cloud your mind with TV and music and a whole lot of stuff that really don't give you no revelation for your life. You want that day to be set aside, some time set aside, so that God can share with you what was actually said while you were sitting there. And what he began to share with me was that our generation, unlike any other generation, has more access to information than anyone else. So if you suffering unnecessarily, it's probably due to ignorance. And that's what it is in a lot of cases. A lot of people refuse certain things that God offers and don't consult him in no way, means, or manners. Because you can, the Bible says that they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Okay, so that, because you acting right, that doesn't mean something challenging won't happen to you. But then, because if the purpose is God has given us power, Acts 1:8, how you gonna know how that power works without an opportunity to use it? This ain't heaven. You ain't gonna see heaven on earth until Jesus come back, and even then, it's gonna be some challenges in the heaven of heavens. Comes 1,007 years after the rapture. You can read that in the book of Revelation, chapter 20 and 21 and 22. Okay? Now, you know, I still don't hear a lot about, I'm starting to hear more about the 1,000 years because it's getting close to that. That's what's happening. Now, let's go, I want to go to one more, and just go back a chapter, and that's in 2:15, 2 Timothy 2:15, right? Yes. It says, now this is from the New King James Version, okay? It says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the only difference is in the original King James, and it's written from the Hebrew, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That to me, see, changes, you know, ain't always good, because it's a word, that word study, I had it up here in the Greek, but anyway, it doesn't matter. The point of the matter is that you're supposed to make that a priority, okay? And being diligent, that does indicate being a priority, but I think that loses something, you know? But you really want to, because that means you're supposed to sit down and take effort. You know, November 16th, when I received the 1976, when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a few days later, I had a Bible, and I started reading the entire book. I hadn't even decided what church I was going to belong to, because by the time I finished reading, which took me about 6 months, I realized that churches didn't tell the whole truth, and that bothered me, see. But this here is telling you that you're supposed to put some effort. Now, I'm an advocate of this. Never read the Bible without first praying and asking God for revelation. He will give it to you. God is more vocal than you can imagine, but he'll hold you accountable for what he reveals to you. He'll give you a chance and time to grow into managing it and getting it down pat. That's as quick as I can say it, best I can say it. Okay, he won't just bum rush you and act like you, treat you like you just, you know, because everybody's different, okay? English ain't my great major. Never watch it. You watch a video, you listen, pray just a few seconds and just ask God for a revelation. And you will hear something that you probably wouldn't have heard. As I said, when I was sitting in church, you know, that's just one incident. He just said something as simple as the finished riding Christian. That's them folks that got one foot in heaven and one foot in hell. But if you slip, you ain't going to slip into heaven. Trust me. You're slipping to hell, but you gonna dive into heaven. You're working on that. And why not? And then you got the opportunity to talk to the most intelligent individual in the universe. No, it's not me. I know some people shaking their head. No, I'm not even close. But no, God Almighty, think about that. I mean, really, you know, I would sit down. There's some men of God, I would love to sit down and pick their brain, but I get to sit down and pick God's mind. This is where I get this revelation from. I sit still, be quiet, let him tell me what to say. Because I want to understand it. I want to just say some stuff. I want to have practical application of it, because that's the purpose. If there's no practical application, if you got your own business, you want God in your business. Because if you, your goal should be able to get everything you desire, make the amount of money you desire, and the lowest paid person in your organization or company or business makes a living wage, which is going to put you high above them. You know, we have a society now that don't see that. They think they can run slavery, but guess what? God gonna bring it all down. I hate that's gonna happen, but it is. All right. So let's go to the next lesson. I'm trying to find these. You know, they teach you in training school to try to follow your notes. But at the same time, pastors say, you follow the Holy Ghost above all. So, all right. So, we've read that you got to study the Word of God, amen, and that they came from God. And this is, again, mind you, so you old folks, you're just going to have to bear with us. But I want you to get a revelation of some things about the Bible. Now, and I'm not going to go through all of them, I don't think. I don't know. I told my producer I might go past an hour today because I don't think this is intended to be a series. Let's go to back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Now, this is, again, like I said, for new people. But I want you to see something. Let me explain what's going on here. Now, this particular incident is challenging from a theological point of view, because some, for some reason, say it hasn't happened. And yet we know it has happened because Satan is down in the earth creating all the drama and chaos. So how do you say it's the future? Well, let me tell you how that is. You cannot put God and his word in a box for your comprehension. You have to let your mind go up to where he is. Now, I was taught there are incidents in the Bible like this. It's called, there's a law of double reference. Okay, double reference. In other words, Satan is going to fight this battle, but he's been fighting this battle since day one. That's what started in the garden. All right, but let me give you this here. Let me lay it out for you. The book of Genesis, chapter 1. Let's do that. Let's start at the beginning. Let's go to the book of the beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 2. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. Okay, and it's amazing. All right, It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. Now, this is an omnipotent God, omniscient God, that can't make mistakes, makes the earth, and yet you got a mess here, without form and void. Now, what you have to understand here, now we go back. Well, what you have in Revelation, now let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. And I'm going to show what's in Revelation chapter 12. Now, mind you, this was written about 3,500 B.C. Let me get this right, because it was written, God gave it, God, the book, the first five books of the Bible was written by Moses. See, now understand that came 3,500 years after, now actually longer than that, but that came 3,500 years after Adam was created. Let me get that right. All right. Now, let me show you how it got formed and without void. I don't know if I want to go through all that, but I'm going to go there because I'm not going to go through everything relating to that issue. I know that. And, because then it'll be all about a whole different issue. All right. It says in verse 7, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, it says, a war broke out in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, a.k.a. Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was their place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, that right there, that's when Satan hit the earth, when he got kicked out. And give me a second here. Damn, my fingers is messing up. All right. All right. Okay. All right. All right. Luke 10:18. I'm not going to go there because I just spent some time in it. But Luke 10:18, Jesus says he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Now get this timeline. The event back then, Jesus had sent the disciples out on a mission, okay? And when they come back, he related at an event. I can't remember the name, how they described this in training, but it's an event that he wasn't related to his sending the disciples out, other than the fact that he proved that Satan does not have your authority over him once he got kicked out of heaven. Satan was a very powerful angel. There's lots of documentation and teachings on him on YouTube, so you can learn about him. But what I want you to know is that I went and looked up that lightning travels at 220,000 miles per hour. Remember a few weeks ago I talked about, if you launched a bowling ball in relation to how much power we have as individuals outside our body, that if I was to go up and come down to the earth at faster than the speed of light and hit it, I would split it in half. See, that's what this is all. God is trying to draw us to the mindset or the level of what we are. See, that's, again, how this relates to prophecy is that is prepared is to let us know, listen, you got to walk right with God. He's got control of time. You don't get to do what you want to do, how you want to do, when you want to do it without his permission. If you do, you're telling him you're not going to do that for him eternally. Because, see, the next level of life, once you make this transition, is eternal. Whether you go to heaven or hell, it doesn't change. That's it. It's done. So he wants you to know, and he wants us to be prepared. Now, we're going to go to Now, I'm going to just quickly run through this timeline. Now, in Isaiah chapter 14:12, you get the conversation of God told Isaiah, who they called the evil eye prophet, what Satan was thinking when he got kicked out of heaven. And his biggest thing was that people know is, I will be like the Most High God. Why? I would be happy. You know, that's why one thing about it, anybody that doesn't appreciate, and there are people that don't appreciate being a such good guy. he never had bad days. He had no direction to go but down, and he chose that. How bright is that? Not bright at all. No direction to go. Never been hungry, never been tired, never been sick. He gets kicked out of that. That's like dumb. You had no direction to go but down. All right. So he come down and hit the earth. And Ezekiel 28 is again, that it reveals that that he was, again, like I said, plotting against God. How I get it to a degree, but you like to think that a person with an IQ above 35,000 would have enough sense to know that he can't overthrow God. But he, in his mind, looked around and seen the numbers of angels and realized his level of intelligence and concluded, as you see people do now, hey, man, enough of us get together, we can overthrow one God. He had no perception of omnipotence. He found out, though. And God didn't even use omnipotence to kick him out. He used Michael, one angel. He grabbed him by the head and slammed him to the earth. When he hit it, the earth became void and without form. Now, you don't have to take my word for it, and I don't expect you to. I expect you to go to God and ask him, is it so? And the whole point of this is that the Bible lays out the past, the present, and the future. And the reason is so that you will take assured steps on the direction that you need to go and be sure that you can get there, which is toward heaven. Well, we're about to get there. Some people think, again, that, you know, we just had April 8th, 2024, a major eclipse. And that eclipse, I will say this. I don't attribute many signs to God, although he has given many signs. And again, that's what this is about, prophetic warning, future warning. I will attribute that to God because of one particular fact. One, the first one that came in 2017 went past seven cities called Salem, which was peace. This one went past seven cities called Nineveh, which means that it's a warning or destruction is coming. If you know the history, read the book of Jonah if you want to understand what that's about. And the number seven is God's number for perfection. And so when that means he's ordered something. And I'm seeing a continuity from the, I would say, some honorable prophets of God that, they're in unison on that, and again, it's fitting in that God wants us. There's some shaky Christians. I talk to them, meet them all the time, and I'm like, yo, you got to be something, got to be brain dead in you to not want to walk. Listen, I could compete with the Pope right now. You know, the Pope's supposed to be a perfect person. I ain't perfect, but I'll tell you what, I can give him a tough run. I ain't leaving nothing to chance. You hear me? I am walking so, man, I put it like this. I'm trying to walk like Jesus. I am not getting left behind because Christians are going to be brutally treated because they're the enemy. They're going to be hunted down and abused. You know, the Lord has put on my heart, I'm going to go ahead and do it, to write a movie script, a horror story. I should have said something. Sometimes if you say things to God and he can't get nobody else to do it, just like my book, you do it. I want you to do it, and I'm going to do it. Because people don't know how hard this is. When you piss God off, you got blessing. Shoot. Man. Imagine look how you act when you just, you ever been, well, some of y'all probably never been angry. I have been out of your mind angry before, you know, and that's some place you don't want to go. I'm telling you, that's a place you definitely don't want me to go. All right. So So we want to talk about right here that there's a timeline that could not occur without God giving the revelation. Because John wrote his book in 96 A.D. No, Moses wrote his about 3500 B.C. So you got a humongous time gap between the two, okay? And they never had a meeting, and they didn't leave. Moses didn't leave no time capsule. John didn't have a reason. Matter of fact, it's interesting. If you want to know a lot more about John and the apostles, read a book called Fox Book of Martyrs. You can get it for like $3 on Amazon, and it'll give you the information about what happened to the disciples after the Bible was written. All right. So, again, like I said, God has control of time that he can line up events in a way that is undisputable. And that's because people spend millions of dollars digging up the earth, trying to find errors in the Bible. And listen, let me tell you something. You praise God, and God, when you open your mouth to praise God, he will fill your body with, he will fill your spirit with his spirit. And then that, I'm going to tell you, you see people dancing and acting ugly in church, that's what be going on. I have been there, and it's almost like you don't have control. You can't. So I've had experiences while praising God when his power and presence was so great. I said, "Lord, you got to break out. You got to back off. You're going to break me." I didn't even think my body could contain it. But let me tell you, what comes behind that, if you sit down and let it roll up, roll out, you'll find revelation comes with that. God doesn't do anything for nothing. You know, and a lot of people walking around with billion-dollar ideas and never get them out because they don't sit still long enough. Did Satan know that? That's why he throws so many distractions. He's the master distractor. All right. So we didn't cover that. The prophecy proves that God alone knows the future. I mean, okay, this is an important one right here. Because I've been mentioning prophets. And I want you to know why, like I said, I'm doing this on the behalf of most of the new people, okay? And you want to read, matter of fact, I would say start with the book of Daniel and read on through. Set your Saturday times, spend a couple of hours reading. Pray before you read. Ask God for revelation. Amen. There's lots of teachings about that. You want to read the whole Bible. You really do. You really do. If you do, the Holy Spirit will remember. He will help you. He'll be your remember. He will help you remember. John 14:26, Jesus said, he'll bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. And Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word was God. Anyway, so we go into Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Well, I'm going to read verse 6. It says, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there's calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servant, the prophet. And it's amazed me that you get people say they ain't no more. Well, what scripture they got to say they ain't? Okay, I don't. Who is that? The Pope say they ain't? And that dude, he's praying to Mary. I'm praying for him to get a revelation. There's 950 million people that's wasting prayer. Anyway, burning candles. It could be, I don't know. Anyway. All right. So this year, it's consistent through the Bible. Okay. You'll find that Israel didn't get going to judgment each time. The last time they went into judgment was when these guys were talking. And because they were being warned, and they didn't repent. And so God let a nation come up and capture them and sold them off as slaves all over the world. And they now get this. This is important. They remained that way to the late 1800s, and they began what was called the Zion Movement. Because God, this is about a lot of territory to cover. God had promised to bring them back. You know, I remember early on back, this had to be 70s, 80s, and I was listening to these people talk about the end of the world and the rapture. And once I read the entire book of Isaiah, I knew that Israel, some things had to occur with Israel that had not occurred yet. Okay? With one recently occurred by former president Donald Trump. And that was when he declared that Jerusalem would be the capital of Jerusalem would be the capital of Israel. It hadn't been there since David. I mean, come on. That was major, and it shocked a lot. And people that knew were shocked by it. But that had to be toward the end times. There are things going on now. Okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want you to be, you know, to get a revelation here. How we doing? Yeah, we're doing good. All right. In other words, God tells those things in the future. That's how he wants us to understand that principle, you know. I believe in Romans 4:17, where it says Abraham talked about how God called those things to be not as though they were. So Abraham picked up that mindset, and that's the mindset that we have. Amen. When you're talking about healing and prosperity, that's why you have to. That's why I was going to deal with the power of speaking. People cancel or stall their own blessings by what comes out of their mouth. But right now, I'm not just interested in folk wanting to get their life together and get right with God, because I don't know what's coming. I don't know if the rapture going to come in 40 days. 40 days going to be what they call Pentecost. I don't know what God going to do. He ain't gave no details. I just know that nothing has to happen for the rapture to occur, and everything else is set in place. And the reason we know these things is because of what's written in the Bible. All right? Let's go through here. Now, okay, talking about the eclipse, let's go back to Genesis. I just want you to see this. You know, I hope you're taking notes. Going to verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 14. Now, this is why it was so significant. This is just one area of the why the eclipse and why the moon and the sun and the stars exist. Mind you, that's another aspect of life that the scientists would like to try to say is an accident, but that was when I first heard the number 9 million, when these scientists, through their own calculations, concluded that the probability of us being on this planet constructed the way it is, spinning at the specific speed that it is, at the specific size that it is, at the specific angle that it is, in between 9 or 8 other planets that all affect this particular planet, the probability of all that unity stretched out to be like 63.9 million. Now, let me give you a picture of that. 63.9 million would wrap, the zeros would wrap the Earth. I think it's like 27,000 miles. It would wrap the Earth 63 times. That's just the zeros. Think about that. Now, they became saved after that. They were all atheists after that. They're like, ain't no way. There is a whole lot of, I can't find that book again either. Say no on that book out there, because it kills all the. They argued, they went through the Big Bang. They kept trying to find an igniter. It's not possible to not have an igniter. But anyway, Genesis 1:14 said, then God said, that's powerful there. You're always, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for many days and for days and years. Okay? All right. Now, that right there, let's just make a little change here. Yep. Anyway, that's you know your seasons by that, by the movement of the moon. That's how they came up with calendars and all that. God gave man the revelation of how to set up calendars, and now we do, even though we have like three different calendars. The Jewish calendar is the primary, actually. We should all be running off of that calendar, but we don't. But that's the one that marks time, like the 40 days that since this eclipse that they'll watch direction to see. I really believe, this is my earnest, and just like I am pinpointing and watching everything, sure, I just do what God say do, how he say do, when he say do it. I really believe as we get closer to the rapture, that people that are, that particularly people that are paying attention to God, won't be unaware. It says that. As a matter of fact, let's read that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In this book, all right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because I find a lot of people, one, I find a lot of people haven't even read the Bible. Now, this is Paul also talking about that particular event. And I want you to pay particular attention to verse 4. It said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, and travail, and as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. I mean, the signs are imminent. I mean, for people that's been around a while, I mean, we're seeing things like this. This transgender is now. I met the first transgender in the 70s. That's how it's not a new thing. It's just expanded. It's the same attempt to try to diminish to stop the growth of the kingdom of God. Okay, God's kingdom consists of people, us. Okay, so men and women. Women don't have no babies. That's, you know, that's what that's about. Okay, that's his affrontation against God. Okay, and it's a sad. He convinced me that you're showing your intelligence by being advanced in your thinking that way. Man, come on, please, really. It's sad. I see in too many areas that people are, Satan is calling them stupid, and they don't even know it. They think it's a good thing. It ain't. It ain't no way. Stupid is unwise, and unwise ain't never good. All right. The Bible, as I said, is one-third of prophecy, okay? Now let's go to Acts 1:7, okay? And again, this here is about an issue, a challenge that I find with people. And I hear it all the time. I heard it today, and I get the objective. Now, this is the disciples asking Jesus. And you can relate to them. Jesus then came. He done died. He done rose again. He's walking around them. You know, they thinking, well, this got to be it. It's our time now. No, that was just phase one. Remember, in case you knew, there are three levels for man. The first level was from Genesis. Excuse me, to Jesus. And that, in that era, only kings, priests, and prophets had the Holy Spirit upon them. And at the advent of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and him sending back the Holy Spirit, which is actually going to occur in the next chapter after this, but we're not going to get into that. You can read that on your own time. That became the next second level of man, or as I call it, second generation man, in which the Holy Spirit now dwells in us. That's different. Now, you don't go by feeling, okay? You can get, if you want a feeling, and it's different from people. God has been, he does let you feel his presence. Like I was saying earlier, he had such a grip on me, I thought it was joy. It was just unimaginable joy. It was ecstasy. And it was just almost impossible to contain, which tells me that we fragile. Yeah, we really ain't all that. We ain't all that. But God loves hugging you. I've seen him do it to people at church. That See, don't let the devil get you caught up in the judging people. If they're clowning, you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know if they're living at home with a wife beater or something like that. And they come to church, they get their freedom, they get their joy, they get their high. You don't know what their job is like. You don't know what bills they pay. You don't know what they've been delivered from. Let them rejoice. I ain't trying to tell you. I've been there. Ask God about it. I ask God about it. I mean, why people fall out like that? I find myself up under a pew. The Holy Spirit hit me. I call it a joy bomb. And I looked up, and I'm trying to think, wait a minute. I'm under a pew. One thing I remember this man of God saying, I won't hurt you. I just managed to be under a pew and didn't get hurt. I'm laying, looking up at the bottom of a pew, and I'm like, okay, Lord. You know, you got questions, ask God. James 1:5 says, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Amen. I ask God. Once I read that, them telling me, don't question God. I question God. I don't question God. I ask God questions. There's a difference. Okay. Now, Jesus is dealing with his disciples, and he's giving them some time. And he's giving, pointing out some things to them about the time in history. Okay. All right. And therefore, when they had come together, this is verse 6, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Okay, then he goes on to tell them they shall receive power. Now, I had a teacher in Bible class that said, pay attention to detail. And that means go back and look at what he said specifically. And then, again, you ask God about it. Now, in each account, each time when Jesus talks about the future, and he tell them, like when he told the disciples, no man knows the time, okay? But see, he identifies something that people overlook. He said, no man knows but God. And here he say God put it under his authority. So you need to check the details to why he said that. Because he could have just said, listen, it would have been very simple and satisfied a lot of people that want to act like it's just random. No man will ever know. So don't even waste your time. He could have said it just like that. Then you would know, you would never know. But then in John 16:13, he said that the Holy Spirit will tell you about things to come. See, this is why it's important to read the Word and it's important to get with God. You're not going to be oblivious to it. I mean, you're not oblivious to it. But if you're busy spending time on everything but God, yeah, you're going to be oblivious. And then you're going to be wondering how you got left behind. But here, it says God has control of the time. That ain't the mission. God is, you got to keep in mind, what is God's objective? He's made a God-class being. It amazed me, there's some challenged people on YouTube is calling that heresy. Man is not a God. Man is a God. There's different, listen, there's one definition that makes, that identifies the Lord God, Jehovah, Creator, El Shaddai, Yahweh, different from me, okay? It just says I have authority, and it's only limited by what I do, okay, or what I've learned from God, what God has revealed to me, okay? Remember I said God is omnipotent, we co-omnipotent, okay? All right, now, here, that's what he's saying. He said, listen, that was 2,000 years ago, they didn't need to know. Okay, they didn't even need, you know what, man, if you're reading this, you should see this was another thing. Listen, they was intelligent enough to build cars back then. It took us all of 80 years to get to the automobile. God could have let them drive cars. He could have let Jesus drive cars. Jesus had full science knowledge in his head, but he didn't. Okay, God knew where this was going, okay? He's control of events and time. There's something, see, that is what the division over the statement that God is in control that comes up with the church. See, that's another law of double reference, okay? There are some areas we have dominion over the earth. Dominion over the earth, but we do not have dominion over the time. We do not have dominion over events, okay? That God has that is going to occur. Remember what we read in Revelation, that which will occur, which is coming, in 2,000 years. All right? Some of them are about to come to pass now. All right. But the whole point of that, if you get nothing out of this, the main thing you get from the fact that prophecy is of God and is designed to reveal the future, and only God knows the future. You know, one of the greatest investors that have ever walked the planet so they say, he says, only person on the chart, a stock chart where it comes to an end, he said the only person who knows what's on that part where it is God. So, you know, that's the only reference I know he made about God. I think he read the Bible. I don't know. But the point here is, if you want to know, I mean, God is, again, you got to be pretty much brain dead. When I look, see, I know here in our state, Michigan, I'm convinced that Michigan has a high level of sanctified Christians because things go around us, okay? And we ain't, you know, you have to listen to my teachings on prayer to get what causes that. I really believe that. You can't play with God. You know, I really believe that. Stuff passes. I believe what's coming is going to pass us. I mean, it really is. It's supposed to be on it. I meet a lot of people that are like that anyway. Okay. All righty. All right. So we covered that, and we're doing great. Amen. And now I want to read Ecclesiastes 1:9. See, again, God is control of time. That's the one area we don't control and we won't control. So, this is a scripture one of my teachers like to refer to. Because, and I know I'm not supposed to recommend, well, I don't matter if I recommend. I would recommend you read a book called The Paradigm by Jonathan Cahn, Rabbi Jonathan Cahn. He's a Messianic Jew. And he shows God how he, in our time, events that occur that are not exactly a total repeat of what has occurred in the past, but it shows that God has a pattern of events. And if you follow that pattern, you know where you are in time. It's like hands on the clock. Every day at 2 o'clock, the hands are in the same position. You know, same thing with 12 o'clock. And that's what he shows. And it's remarkable. It would take God to have people in our time, politicians particularly, that do the exact same thing that was done thousands of years ago. The sad part is the result of their actions. And I'm glad I'm not them. And now this is what's behind that. It says, that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. For there is nothing new under the sun. Again, this all goes back to why God created us, the fact that he created us after in his own image and likeness. You know, the Lord said something today that, you know, this was new. He said, because and it's amazing, I've read a lot of commentaries, and they all keep saying that likeness and image is the same. But the problem is the image part is made out of dirt. God ain't made out of dirt. He's not made out of dirt. God is a spirit. Okay, Jesus was dressed in a dirt sack, but the rest of us and God ain't never been in the dirt. He was. That's another area people struggle with. Okay, God is able to do that. Man, if you can exist without a birthday, how you do whatever you do, I just say amen. I am not going to try to theologicize how God is able to be and not be and be. No, I'm like, you God. That's why I get up and worship him, because he's God, okay? All right, but you know what? I think in the interest of fairness or reason, I'm going to finish this next week. I was going to go over. I did go some longer. But I think this deserves at least two parts because there's some things I want to share. I want to share next week about what's going on the horizon in the near future and show you when it was written. It was written 2,000 years ago, okay? But maybe this is your first time hearing this broadcast. You may have stumbled on it. Hopefully it's before the rapture. But you need to understand that God has marked out a schedule. And the schedule is marked out for you to be blessed, not for you to suffer in agony for eternity, but for you to walk in supreme, unimaginable beauty and glory and blessing for eternity. But he needs you to understand your nature and your makeup so that he can understand that you will be responsible with that and don't end up like Satan. Satan never had bad days, never been sick, tired, never been hungry. He never had to drive a car. He could teleport wherever he wanted to go at the speed of thought. God don't want you to be lost like that. So, and you're at a higher level. We're at a higher level than Satan. Now, think about all that he was able to do, and we are at a higher level. So to initiate the process to secure that place in heaven, you just need to say this prayer and believe it. You'll learn to understand it as time goes by. And to say that, Father God in heaven, I believe your word. I believe that all men were born in sin, and I acknowledge that. And I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I say with my mouth, and I believe in my heart, that I am saved and I am born again and I am restored. Now that's sad that so many people in hell over something as simple as that. Something that simple, a statement that simple. I'm talking about the good people. The bad people, you understand. The good people, you don't, you know, they think they can get down good. No, because my good and God good, because I'm going to do a series on that one day. My good and God good ain't always the same, okay? But notice that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom.
Outline our affections. Trace kindness from your acceptance of Christ's sacrifice. It gave us the ability to forgive those who sin against us, who lie and accuse, they frame and abuse, yet we get to choose to overlook the offense. And when we sin, we repent. Our hope exists from the seed of your kindness. We were blinded, dumbfounded, you led us to repentance. Our hearts wicked, conflicted, you fixed it, untwisted, unbent, double knots tied from sin. Your loving kindness stepped in and faith began. Turn hatred into compassion. Now we fashion the master's actions, and we have to go where he says go, speak what he says speak, following the footsteps that Jesus leads. As kindness leaks from the cross to the lost and the cost was paid, we give it all back to the one who saves by what we say and what we do to his creation. So with patience, we ask that you clean kindness to hearts hiding in ribcage. Let us spit lyrics that rave of his existence. Press kindness beyond the surface. So our work is more than just service to a community, but evidence of a divine unity of Father, Son, and Spirit at work behind the curtain of our lives. Let it soak in all our lives. Cause you give life to those who pursue it. Let us subdue it, taste it, and chew it. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in him and produce his fruit. As the Spirit feeds the seeds to our roots, let us trust in him and produce his fruit.